Hey, it's Trevor from the Black Dahlia Murder here, and you are listening to the Toilet of Hell.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Buffalo wings or barbecue wings?
For me, it's barbecue. I'm not much of a buffalo guy. I don't really care for the taste of buffalo that much, which would offend a lot of people I know, probably. Brian Eschbach swears by the buffalo, but to me, it's just, I don't know, it's just too weird of a taste. I like it on Snyder's pretzel pieces, but that's about it. That's my exception for buffalo, but barbecue is where I'm at. I would drink barbecue sauce. I have drank barbecue sauce. Yeah, cool. It's just a late night super stoner move, you know?
Welcome to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me is 365 Days of Horror, and we're pleased as punch to have Trevor from the Black Dahlia Murder on with us today. How's it going, Trevor?
Hola! All is well here in Winter Wonderland.
Let's see, you're currently getting... I'm not like a good at metrics, but it's a shit ton of snow right now, right?
Yeah, yeah. We got a little more than a foot the other day. I mean, that's a lot, man. So it's looking pretty wonderful out there. I'm over it, man. I've lived in Michigan my whole life, and I detest this part of the year.
I don't blame you. Everything about that sounds hellish.
Yeah, you know, but it's cheap to live here, man. That's why I keep coming back, you know. The whole Michigan's economy kind of fell around us, you know, while we were out on tour, and made for some cheap living.
Well, I guess that's ideal when you you make your living out on the road, which, you know, you might be the most metal person on earth. How old were you when you started doing the Black Dahlia Murder?
Man, it was 2001, so I gotta say, like 20 or 19. I was a bit older than the other guys. I'm back to being the oldest again. You know, we had a few guys in the band older than me at certain points, but for the most part, I've been the old man. But yeah, man, it's been a long time.
That's been a long road. You're I believe you're an elder statesman now.
Yeah, it's just Brian and I left hanging on from the original lineup, and yeah, it's crazy, man. If you would have told me back then that this was going to be the same band and that it would go anywhere, I probably wouldn't have believed you.
And yeah, you've by now the Black Dahlia Murder has to be one of the you know, the biggest bands to come out of the early 2000s. You know, there's not a whole lot of competition between you guys.
Well, it's like Black Dahlia Murder and Korn.
Oh, Korn, man. Yeah, dude. I haven't heard that new Korn yet, but, you know, I'll listen to it someday. Why not? But yeah, I know what you mean, though. I mean, a lot of our peers have fallen off, you know, a lot of bands that we looked up to and kind of took us under our wing in the early days, like Red Chord, for example, took us on our second tour ever and helped us get in front of people. And Premonitions of War, they were on the same tour. We used to look up to those guys a lot. A Life Once Lost. You know, just they just haven't had the same luck, man. I think a lot of it is to do with luck with us, you know. I'll never say that we were an original band or, you know what I mean? I think it was just the right place, right time, right weirdos, you know. I don't know what really else to say about it.
Well, there must be something to say about your work ethic that you've been doing this since you were 20, 21, and you've got the longevity to keep it going.
Yeah, you know, we always from the beginning, I mean, even when I was coming in the band, when we were totally just young and didn't know what we were doing, you know, I put it in their minds that, you know, we got to get out there and tour, you know, like all I wanted to do was play somewhere else and just, you know, go conquer some new territory, you know, because in Michigan, you know, we were the geeks in the scene. We couldn't be taken seriously by anybody pretty much around here. So, and, you know, nothing was going to happen in Michigan. Again, that was going to launch us anyway. You know what I mean? It's just such a small scene here. And at the time, it was like us kicking around playing hardcore and metalcore shows. You know, there wasn't much of a death metal scene to speak of at the time, at least that we knew about, that we could get connected with. So, you know, we're just kind of feeling things out. And for the first 3 years as a band, we were just a local band, you know, full of Punishers that just, you know, we played twice every weekend, you know, if we could. And, yeah, you know, I don't know. We were just cutting our teeth, and I remember when international bands would come through. I remember seeing the Red Chord for the first time, and we played with them, and we had a meeting at the show, and we were like, "All right, guys, I don't know what the hell kind of drugs these guys are on or what the hell they're doing, but we got to get back in the practice space because they just blew our faces off. You know, we'd never seen anything like that. They were so tight." And there was so little time in between songs, and everything was just so, I don't know, they were just intense, you know what I mean? And we were still very green at that point, and that was a real eye-opener. But like I said, those guys, Guy in particular, took us under his wing and helped us get out there a little bit. And that second tour was definitely instrumental into, you know, kind of pushing the snowball, I think.
That is awesome. So you've been everywhere from, I'm assuming, a couple of VFW halls to several big festivals now. What's been the best place that you've ever played?
That's a tough one, man. I mean, I like a good American tour. You know, I like a nice headlining tour. But I'd have a heart for Japan. I love playing out there. It's just so exotic and cool, and you know, it feels like an honor, you know, like when we're out there, it feels like we're playing the championship kind of, you know, so it's like, all right, guys, let's kick their asses here. They brought us all the way out here, you know. So, yeah, it's really fun. I love being out there. I love record shopping out there. You know, there's like, you know, like Europe, they're stuck in the past. You know what I mean? Like they take not just what's coming out in metal, but they take the history of it seriously, too. You know what I mean? So, like, I can kind of relate in that way. And I like going out there and record shopping. And, you know, they have, like, metal-centric record stores that are still around and stuff. And, you know, the CD is still, like, a viable thing there. They're still into it, you know? So those are my people, man, you know?
Any listeners that aren't aware, you've got a regular column in Metal Injection, the Obituarist, that you cover the best and unknown, most unknown bands in metal and give them some dap. And I know that with our site, the people that read it, it's one of our favorite recurring features on the internet anywhere. So
thanks a lot, man.
You know your metal, you know what you're looking for. So tell us, how do you find the things that you find?
Man, I'm just always combing, dude. I mean, there's a lot of outlets I watch, you know. I watch all the labels. Obviously, now since I've been doing it, I get like kind of like PR links and stuff like that, you know, where they give you the bio and the album that's coming out. And that's helpful, you know what I mean? But I prefer to kind of find stuff on my own. And still, like, a lot of stuff I want to pop up in those channels really doesn't, you know what I mean? So, yeah, just watch all the labels that I like. Pretty much anything I follow on social media, like, is just metal related. You know, I don't follow any people or anything like that. So that kind of keeps my inflow of information very, you know, keeps it pretty, centric to what I'm trying to do. And, you know, there's some downloading involved as well. You know, I think watching the blogs is, you know, the blogs are pretty much cutting edge as far as like what's coming out and what drops. You know, they all seem to filter through some kind of outlet like that. So watching the blogs as well, you know, watching for album leaks and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, but my end game is buying records and getting people to buy records, you know what I mean? But you know, there's still some illegal activities involved in finding all this kind of stuff, you know, and being aware of, you know, a million bands. So, but yeah, a lot of it has to do with, you know, just being Rain Man, I think, and just being really neurotic and just the thrill of the hunt. You know, I still enjoy it. And, you know, the bigger that BDM gets, like, the more I delve into the underground, I think, to kind of keep myself grounded and just to stay plugged into what I'm comfortable with, you know what I mean? And also, you know, I don't know, just everything that goes into metal is like a neurotic thing for me. Like, the t-shirts, like wearing a metal t-shirt every single day, like, no doubt in my mind. My closet is completely black. You know, it's lame. I know that it's lame, but, you know, like, I just have gone so hard in this one way, you know. You know, I'm just sick of other shit, you know. I'm sick of all the metal stuff that gets shoved up my ass, you know, in good wording there, by, you know, just other media outlets. You know, you guys are always putting on, like, awesome unknown shit. You know, Known Clean Singing is another one I really like that's always putting up new bands. Invisible Oranges, you know, I like those sites a lot.
I've got three animals in the other room that are super pissed that I locked myself in this door, so, like, you might hear all kinds of screams coming out.
Yeah, you might hear my girlfriend downstairs screaming about Skyrim too. I should warn you about that.
Oh, we should get her on here and tell us what she's doing on Skyrim right now.
Dude, she's foaming at the mouth, man. I don't know if that's a good idea.
So, are you both gamers?
A little bit, you know. I'm more of an old school guy. I play a lot of Nintendo still.
That makes sense. The demo you guys put out forever ago was reference to Castlevania 2. Is that correct?
Yeah. And then eventually, you know, we made the song of the same name on Nocturnal. What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse. But yeah, man, that was one of the early games I really like. Fell in love with, and it scared the shit out of me as a kid, like when it would turn to nighttime and stuff. You know, I'm like 6 or 7 when I got this, you know what I mean? So Yeah, and back then it looked real to all of us, you know what I mean? Like, this is the most realistic game I've ever seen in my life.
I still have nightmares about the Godzilla NES game, and I don't know why.
Oh, dude, yeah, that's one, man. But, yeah, I still play Nintendo. Like, they're always finding new ways to trick me into buying more Nintendo shit somehow. Like,
oh, you got the mini NES.
No, I didn't go that route, but I got the Analog NT, which is even way nerdier than that. It's like somebody basically took the guts of a Nintendo and built it into a new body, and it's HDMI friendly. And it was expensive as fuck, you know, but Nintendo's like my favorite thing aside from metal. It's another one of my security blankets, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm a very nostalgic person, you know, so... I don't know. Nintendo's just like my happy place. Mega Man, you know, you can relate, Joe. You know, Mega Man.
Yeah, definitely. I get it. Now, I've heard of the Nintendo thing that you're talking about, and I remember hearing it was super expensive. Does it really run as smoothly on like a flat screen television as it was promised?
Yes. It's a beautiful thing, man. I love the hell out of it. It was $500. They made a second run now that's they made the size of it a bit smaller. I think they're trying to compete with that thing that Nintendo's putting out right now, you know, and I wanted the ability to play every single game ever and, you know, all the weird bootlegs and stuff like that, too. I'm just way too into it to settle for 30 games that I've, you know, have already played the shit out of. So, you know, I think it's cool that people are getting it and, you know, more power to them. But I'm just like way too nerdy for that. I don't know.
No, I respect that. I respect that you're not going to settle for the bog standard 30 games there. Because I mean, like, you know, you're forgetting all the especially weird things that came out, like the bootleg Bible games. I remember I played a lot of those as a kid.
Bible stories.
And there's that one that has like three or four games together because they all suck so bad, you know?
Yeah, just like... you could toss the baby Jesus like in the basket, like into the river.
It was Moses. It was Moses.
Oh,
yeah. Little Moses.
You'd still beat the level if you just tossed him to the snakes and made it to the end. They didn't seem to care that you got rid of Moses.
God isn't picky.
Yeah, that's a slight bit of an oversight there.
Yeah, I gotta get one of these things now. I gotta see that in beautiful HD.
Yeah, it's sick. The new one they made, like I said, it's a little bit smaller. It's like made out of some kind of airplane aluminum. I don't know. That wasn't the important part. You know what I mean? I just wanted to play Nintendo on HDMI for Christ's sake. So, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, you could do the same thing with those like Retrons and stuff like that. I believe those are like HDMI friendly, but you have to have all the cartridges and shit, so...
Yeah, yep. I built a Raspberry Pi to play NES and SNES games, and it's okay. It runs most of them.
It's cool. I have one of those too. I'm not. I'm still figuring out how to get some of the stuff to work, like some of the BIOS and stuff like that with like Dreamcast and shit. Some of the stuff's over my head, admittedly. You know what I mean? The world of emulation, but I've definitely delved into it a lot. I've had a few different handhelds, you know, like I had a Yin Lips and things like that. And yeah, I like the Raspberry Pi. It's pretty cool. Our bass player Max came over and installed Kodi on there. So now I've been watching all these weird 80s movies and stuff. So that's pretty fun.
That's awesome. It sounds like you've got a great bunker for the winter, at least.
Yeah, you know, I don't lie to myself. You know, there's no going outside. Like, I know I'm going to be pretty much just... hunkered down for a few months here, and as I've gotten older, you know, I really don't have any desire to see any other humans anyway, you know. Like, once I get off tour, man, I'm just kind of peopled out, you know. And I like the people I see on tour, you know. I like seeing metalheads, you know. Those are my people. So this goes back to me in my tunnel vision world, you know what I mean?
I get it. I totally get it. I heard today, I heard a new track from Benighted that had you doing guest vocals on it. It's upcoming record on Seasons of Mist, I believe. How did you get hooked up with those guys?
It came from the tour, man. We toured with them out in Europe about a year ago now, and yeah, we just hit it off really well. I mean, I love their band, obviously. I have all their shit, and So it's really cool to just tour with them as fans. And, you know, Julian, the singer, is about the one of the nicest guys I've ever met in metal. It's like him, fucking dude from Gorguts, Luke. He's like the other nicest guy I've ever met, probably.
I've heard nothing but great things about that guy.
Man, he would seriously, like, put his jacket in the mud for you, man. You know what I mean? Like in a like in an old school cartoon. Like, he's that guy. He's so freaking nice.
What a gentleman.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Julian's one of those guys too, man. He's just got, you know, he's just so freaking nice. I got nothing but love for that dude. So when he asked me to sing on it, I was like, of course, man. And, you know, his lows are definitely intimidating. So I wanted to keep it high as to kind of like contrast him more, you know. And, I don't know. I never really considered myself a great vocalist anyway. I just do what I do. And, you know, I try to be strong in my writing and in my stage presence, I guess. You know what I mean? And also just how I carry myself. You know what I mean? But yeah, I never considered myself to be even as good as many of my peers out there.
When it comes to doing guest vocals for other bands, do you find it easier that you actually enjoy their music, or do you want to be like Chino from Deftones and just as long as someone gives you a couple bucks, you'll do whatever?
I mean, I've turned down a lot of stuff that I just didn't know what it was, you know? So I guess that's the standard. It's like either I like it or they're my friends, or, you know, usually I like all my friends' bands anyway, but so it's, you know, I've just kept it like that. You know, I haven't taken any monetary stuff, you know, it's just to kind of, to help them if I can, you know, get their name out there. Obviously, they realize that I'll be advertising it from my end, you know what I mean? And we have a lot of, you know, social media reach and shit like that. So that's a help to them, which is cool. And, you know, it makes us look good as well to reach out to the underground and help people out a little bit, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's Benighted. Benighted's a, you know, decently sized band. They don't really need that kind of shit. I think it's just, I don't know, it's just cool, man. So, I did one today, actually. I was out at Brian Eschbach's house recording today for the Slam song. And I can't reveal it yet because, you know, the bands get kind of touchy about that. I think they want to be the one that does the big reveal, you know, if that's kind of like their plan or whatever.
I wanted to ask you about that because you definitely rep a lot of brutal death metal and slam, which I love the hell out of. Have you ever considered doing your own slam project?
Yeah, you know, I have. I'd really love to, actually. I walk around my house doing stupid guttural vocals all the time. You know what I mean? Just like everybody else that likes death metal, I think. So,
yep.
You know,
yep.
So I'd love to apply some of that or, you know, and I'm getting really close to just buying a new computer and kind of getting my own Pro Tools rig set up here so I can kind of start doing, you know, if I want to do a project or something, I could, which would be fun for me. I'd really like to do something different like that and just, you know, re all over the place, you know, it'd be fun for me. And, you know, I've considered kind of doing a guttural here and there on somebody's guest appearance, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I just haven't gotten the balls to do it really yet.
You're a person that cares about writing lyrics. Do you think that you would even bother if you were doing a slam project, or you would just go the...
I don't know. It depends. You know, I kind of run into that issue dealing with some of the bands I deal with. Like, they'll just hand me a laundry list of lyrics and a blank part and be like, here you go. I'm like, well, that doesn't just work there. You know what I mean? Like,
go music.
You know, like, yeah. Dude, so, like, I have to be like, well, I'll try to move this around a little bit. You know, I prefer if they have everything kind of written out when it comes to me, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I definitely would like to do my own slam thing or something just for fun, or maybe even I could get my jollies out probably in one song. I've been thinking about it for so long, you know what I mean? So I'll reach out there. You know, a lot of slam bands are internet only bands or bedroom only bands anyway, you know what I mean? So
definitely.
I could probably get something going, you know, if I really put my mind to it.
I'm going to go ahead and say, folks listening to the show, if you're, you know, if you've got a one-man slam slam band, go ahead and tell Trevor the secrets of the trade.
Yeah, dude, hit me up, man. I'll do some re-rees, man. I'll poop all over that shit.
I'm going to, by the way, sample that to use for a button in the future. I'm going to poop all over that shit.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man.
Well, that's going to be a new t-shirt for us.
You got what you like. You like brutal death metal. You like the Nintendo Entertainment System. How do you feel about horror movies?
I like them. I mean, I don't really stay up on modern horror very much at all, or any kind of movies for that. I mean, I barely check out any movies that come out unless like 100 people told me to go see it, or unless it's like Star Wars or something, I'll check that out. But I like 80s horror a lot. Slasher movies, you know, were my first love as a kid. And horror definitely preceded role-playing and death metal for me. which all became kind of synonymous later in life. But I mean, like getting into metal, that was what first grabbed me, was seeing, you know, skeletons of the artwork and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, so there's music about this kind of shit, you know? I'm into it. But yeah, it started with this one friend I had named Mark, and his parents would let us watch horror movies. So he had like the first Halloween, first Friday the 13th, Night of the Living Dead, first Creepshow, and a few others. And we used to just watch them over and over. And that's where my whole macabre obsession came from at first. This is like first grade. So I'm going to school. I'm drawing people getting their heads cut off, like with crayon at this point. You know what I mean? So
I got in trouble for that shit when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think my folks got talked to about it, you know, and they're just like, oh, whatever. He's just, you know, going through a phase that lasts forever. So, I still have a lot of love for horror. You know, as I've gotten older, I kind of checked out more like European stuff, like your Fulcis and, you know, Argento. Deathmass Divine, for example, is influenced by the movie Bio Omega. Beyond the Darkness is also known by. It's got a really great scene where the main guy is embalming his girlfriend, and it's just so grisly and gory, and it really stuck with me, you know, and that became the basis of the song Deathmass Divine. And then the other little aspects that are in there describing the woman and stuff was describing the girl I was dating at the time, because I wanted to kill her, but...
That is gnarly. 365, I believe you had a string of questions.
Well, if Trevor's interested, we'd like to play a little game that we call Horror Movie or Metal Band. I'm going to read you 20 phrases, and you're going to have to guess if this is a horror movie or a metal band.
Okay.
Sounds I feel good. I have all the confidence in the world in you right now. I feel like you're a man who can get this right.
I think I'll know if it's metal, but like I said, man, I haven't been up on horror in a while, at least what's out there now. So who knows?
It's very mixed. There's 70s, 80s, recent stuff. Well, you'll be fine.
Okay, yeah. I'm not scared, dude. I'm ready.
All right. Number one, Brutally Deceased.
That is a band.
Ding. It's a great, great band. I really love the record that came out this year.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Czech Republic. I actually played alongside those guys once. We were in Denmark playing this kind of weird little festival, and it was like us, them, Ill Disposed, and Contrastic, one of the weirdest bands out of the Czech scene. So that was kind of a cool day for me.
That is very cool.
Number two, The Zombie Diaries.
That sounds like more like a movie to me, like a direct to Netflix kind of thing or something.
It is a movie, a very bad movie.
It sounds bad.
It's a zombie movie where the zombies aren't just slow; they're like crawling slow. It was horrible. I sat through the whole thing. Don't bother.
All right. Thank you for your service.
Number three, The Burning.
Horror movie. That's an awesome horror movie. I actually saw that for the first time, which is long overdue, pretty recently. It's about this guy. He's a camp counselor, and he's kind of a jerk or whatever. Or he's like the camp, like, maintenance
janitor,
man.
I think.
Yeah, the maintenance guy. And the kids play a trick on him, and it goes wrong, and they burn him up. And he comes back and kills him, you know, in a pretty typical campground slasher. But, what really interested me about this was the whole Cropsey thing and the whole legend of Cropsey based out in New Jersey and shit. And I saw some like movie about the real legacy of Cropsey like a couple of years ago. So that kind of piqued my interest in seeing The Burning even more. So yeah, Cropsey, man, it was based on, I don't know, some legend out there in New Jersey about some guy that got burnt up or something.
I grew up in New Jersey and I never heard about that, so... Oh.
Cropsey, he haunts the abandoned asylums.
And I believe the Burning is the first appearance of Jason Alexander also known as George Costanza. In that's his first role. It's great. It's a great movie.
Oh, dude, and he has so much hair, dude. But otherwise, he's the same. You know, he's kind of sarcastic a little bit. You know, but he's looking pretty good. I remember this McDonald's commercial back in the day when I was
Holy
kid.
Shit, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Where the McDLT.
Yeah, where he sang, dude. He was like in a West Side Story kind of gang, and there was like the hot gang and the cool gang, you know? Because the premise of the burger was that it came in two parts.
Yeah, two different styrofoam containers so you can shit up the planet even quicker.
Very 80s to waste as much styrofoam as you can. You know what I mean?
I'm going to interject the audio from that commercial into this podcast. People are
I kind of remember the song. It's like, you keep the hot. You keep the cool.
Awesome.
All right. Number four, Divinity Destroyed.
Ooh, that's a close, that's a tough one. But I want to say death metal. There is a band called Destroying Divinity, which you're obviously not referring to, but it still sounds like it might be somebody else's song or something.
It is a band. You are correct.
Band? Okay.
Killing it.
All right. Number five, Anthropomorphia.
Ooh. That's a tough one because there's many bands with many spelling variations of that, and there's also some movies, too, sort of... I'm going to go movie, man. I'm going on a limb here.
I hate to break it to you, but Anthropomorphia is on Metal Blade.
Oh, okay, yes. I'm familiar with one of their early works that's been reissued. It's called Necromantic Love Songs. It's actually really, really sick old school death metal.
We'll consider that one a foul tip. That's not quite a strikeout.
Okay, dude, no worries, man. I'm all right.
Number six, Basket Case.
That's a movie. I don't think I've seen it, but I know of it. And I know what the guy looks like, the freak in the basket. So it kind of spoils the whole thing. I think that's like the big reveal at the end, right?
It's like what's on the poster is the guy in the basket.
Yeah. He looks like shit, man.
Number seven, Cellar Dweller.
Damn.
Whatever this is, I'm into it. I like that name.
Yeah, I like it too. Well, it reminds me a little bit of, what's that new metal magic show? Chris Angel. I swear to God, like, I don't know, like, he's somehow related to some dude named Cellar or Cellar Dweller or some shit like that, or it's horrible new metal shit. But, I guess I'm going to say I'm feeling like it was a movie anyway, though.
It was a movie.
Hey!
But yes, Cellar Dweller, bro.
It's a good name.
We're totally going to start beef with Chris Angel.
Dude, I'd like to start beef with Chris Angel, man. Let's do it.
Chris Angel, you're on notice.
What if he makes us all disappear, though? You know what I'm saying?
He's going to permanently.
That'd be great. Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Number eight. Abominable Putridity.
Oh, that's an easy one. I got their CD, man. I slam with those Russians.
All right.
I think that the little monster on their last album would make a great, creature in a horror movie, though.
Yeah, well, what's he doing on the cover, though? He's, like, doing a pirouette or something. It's kind of weird.
He's dancing.
It's a come at me, bro.
Yeah.
Number nine, Chopping Mall.
That's a movie. I think it's a real oldie. I haven't seen it, but I believe Mortician has recommended it on some level.
It is a 80s horror movie about a mall, obviously, but the security guards are like cyborgs and they all come to life and kill people.
Ah, that sounds pretty cool.
Number 10, Disembowelarena.
Oh, man, this is tough. We once played with a local band called Morchu Fairy that was all chicks. And they had a song called Bologna Sandwich. It was pretty tight.
Tight.
Anyway. say it one more time. I already forgot.
Disembowelarena.
Disembowelarena. I'm going to say movie. It sounds kind of Netflixy.
It's a band.
It's a band? Ooh. Rough. I hope they're not on Metal Blade 2, right?
Not that I'm aware of. Not yet.
Not yet.
Number 11, Rabid Grannies.
Rabid Grannies is, I think it's a movie.
It's a movie. It's a Belgium horror movie.
I was going to say, it sounds pretty familiar. I was going to say it was like Trauma or something.
Trauma.
Sounds pretty traumatastic right there.
Number 12, Pontypool.
I got nothing, man. I don't even know what that is. I guess movie?
Nailed it.
It is a movie, and we highly recommend it. It's on Netflix.
So it's going to take 98 more recommendations, but you got two solid recommendations to catch this movie here.
Well, it sounds like you guys watch a lot of movies, so that's good enough for me, man. So I'll check it out.
Number 13, Brain Drill.
Brain Drill. It's a band that the cops have seen up their ass.
Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, that was our tour, actually. Do you remember when Brain Drill got arrested at the Canadian border and the cops, they got searched by the cops? And I don't know what prompted this, but in a spout of rage, the guitar player went on their Facebook and recounted the whole thing in all caps and basically ruined their reputation overnight.
Oh, my God.
If you just look up Brain Drill and spread my butt cheeks, it'll come up in about 2 seconds.
Oh, that's another T-shirt for us.
Yeah. So
I'm a fan of the band. I had never heard of that in my life.
I'm a fan, too. I love them, and I love the guys. I mean, they're my friends, obviously. We went on tour together, but it was the last day of tour. Second to last day. We were playing in Buffalo. And we had to beat it to Michigan to play in Grand Rapids for the final show. And they set their GPS and didn't realize it was going to take them into Canada. And they had, like, drugs, fireworks, and some other shit they weren't supposed to have. And they didn't realize it until they're, like, inches away from going in the border. So they're all, like, fighting, screaming at each other, freaking out. And they take that energy right into the conversation with the border guys. So. So in about 10 minutes, they're being searched in the butt and stuff like that. And like I said, all they had to do was not tell anybody. You know what I mean?
You had one job.
Yeah, you had one job, and it was to not all caps rage post the butt search. And you blew it. So, yeah, that's Brain Drill. You know, they're back now. They've had two albums since then. You know, I'm not trying to harsh on them. I'm sure they would laugh if they heard this. I hope they would. You know, they're great guys, like I said, but it happened, dude.
I'm glad to know this.
My life is definitely fuller for having known this.
Like I said, man, after this, you gotta look it up. Like I said, just spread butt cheeks and Brain Drill together.
Oh, I'm Googling this right now while you guys are talking.
Yeah, it's still out there somewhere, man. You know, if they would have... You know, I'm a pretty shameless guy. I don't think I would have even, you know, put that out there.
Number 14, Castle Freak.
Ooh, this is the big one. This is the last one. It's got to be because it's a band and a movie.
Nailed it! That is awesome.
Hell yeah. I haven't seen the movie, though. I only know about the movie because of looking up the band Castle Freak. But Castle Freak's a cool band out of Philly, I believe. And they have one of the guys from Noisem, Sebastian, who's like Noisem's main writer. He plays drums in Castle Freak. So, and I've seen those guys here in Detroit, and they were sick. Kind of like a Repulsion-esque, garagey grindcore stuff.
Got a few more if you want to give it a lightning round shot.
Let's go, man. I'm feeling it. Let's go.
Morgue Supplier.
That's a band, a death grind band. I'm not sure where they're from, though.
Got it.
Yes. Dead Man in Reno.
Oh, God. That's tough because it sounds like the worst local band or like the worst Netflix movie. You know what I mean? So it's very tough. I'm going to go with the movie.
It was a metalcore band.
Ah, see? Man, there's got to be, you know... I bet you could just make anything up and there's got to be a band out there called it. You know what I mean? No matter how shitty it is, you know?
Polka Dot Cadaver.
That's a band. I want to say it's some kind of weird Mr. Bungle-esque band, but I'm not positive.
It is. Yeah. You're correct. It's a side band from the guys from Dog Fashion Disco who are like a weird Mr. Bungle band.
Word. There you go.
Butt Crack.
Butt Crack. Fuck. See, this is tough, too, because this could be the stupidest band of all time, or it could be a movie about crack that kills you. I mean, crack does kill you, you know what I mean? But, like, it kills you fast, and somehow a butt falls on you. You know, it seems like something that Gary Busey would be involved in, you know, like Ginger Dead Man or some shit, you know what I mean? So, dude, this is I don't want to be wrong on this one.
Everything's riding on this.
I know. This is the important one. I'm gonna go movie again.
It is a movie, yeah. And I wish what you described was what it was actually about. It's a trauma movie where a sorceress curses a man's butt crack so that whenever it hangs out and someone sees it, they die.
All right, dude, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, Mojo Nixon was in that movie, man.
Oh, that's cool. Mojo Nixon! This reminds me of that Wesley Willis song.
Oh, man, I love Wesley Willis. How many Dark... questions you got, man?
Two more. I got two more.
All right.
Okay.
Dark Floors.
Dark Floors. Damn. That's tough. I could see, like, a kind of post-black metal ambient weird thing I would never want to listen to kind of band, or like you know, another crappy movie. I'm gonna go with band this time. I'm just gonna put it out there.
It's entirely possible that it's a band, but this is Lordi's horror movie.
Oh wow, Lordi, like the Euro Guar, right?
Yes. Yeah. They put out a movie and it failed miserably. They lost a lot of money on it.
Ouch. Well, what were they thinking, dude?
my girlfriend read a review of that. She wants us to run on the site. I think we will do that soon.
She should write it. Why should any of us have to suffer?
No, she wrote it. She wrote the full thing.
Excellent. And the very last question, zombie apocalypse.
That's a Mortician release, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a movie, too. But I remember when I bought that. When it came out, that was when they tuned down again. that was like their go-to move for a while, and guess what, we tuned down even lower.
It is both a movie and a band.
Damn, there you go. I should have known.
So I'd say you did pretty good, somewhere around 17 out of 20. So that's solid.
Pretty good, man.
A minus B plus area, so congratulations.
Hey, thanks, dude. You know, it pays to be moronically obsessed with death metal, at least sometimes.
You certainly know your metal, and it looks like you really know your horror as well.
I want to plug my Twitter, man. Just follow me on Twitter, Trevor TBDM. The Obituarist, you know, I talk about new stuff all the time, which but I'm also always searching the annals of the past for death metal. So, you know, on my Twitter, I recommend stuff from all walks and all years and stuff. So if you really want more crap, more recommendations, yeah, follow me on Twitter.
Sweet. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week. Awake. See us while the world goes bad.
smell the place of us the dead. Rock and roll submit the shrain. Body water serves as wine. The lips that drive the river Styx. To bless the blade from crucifix. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.